you will, to the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. We've adverted to this in the past. I'd like to look at it from a slightly different angle this evening. Read the first 17 or so verses of the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years of specified by the word of the Lord through Daniel, through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face as it is this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, to those near and far off in all countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed, so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges, who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such as has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servants and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. And he goes on. So, Daniel is praying from God's word, which he has read in Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, if we were to turn there, and it's the entirety of the prophecy of Jeremiah, has to do with the sins of God's people and the promise of God to send God's people away into exile because of their sins. And then he promises to bring them back. And we see Daniel, based on what he's reading in God's word, praying. And instead of merely invoking the promise, he is taking in the entirety of that which God has said, and he is laying all of that out in prayer. And what I'm bringing to us here is the encouragement to us to enter into God's will in prayer. First of all, the general statement that if we pray from God's word, we enter into God's will more completely. It's very easy to take a little snippet and to say, God has promised to bring, in this case, to bring his people back. And then that accords with my desire, and so I pray that. But the larger context, which is the sin of God's people, which has need to be repented of, is the larger context which Daniel entered into, and the two together were what he brought to the Lord. The biggest picture is that prayer is to be made according to God's will. And we do that when we enter into God's word and pray that back to God. There were painfully clear statements of the sins of God's people that brought the exile on them. And Daniel, instead of just saying, well, I want, and God promises, instead he takes the larger context. And that is our need in prayer as well. He prays, he confesses, he prays for national forgiveness. And that is the national forgiveness for us is the church, of course. Then and only then, he prays for God to do what he had said that he would. So the context for us to enter into God's word and pray that back to God in context and in a believing way is needful. The in context is brought to us here in the second point that I'd like to bring to us. That is that the believer is to watch unto prayer. That's the New Testament context of this that we see the example of from Daniel. First stated by the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 26, he says, watch and pray. He is speaking, of course, generally of prayer, but of the larger context. He's saying, you don't know the day nor the hour in which I will return. You have to be aware of the situation when you pray. And so that exhortation by the Lord Jesus to be like a watchman, to be alert to the circumstances when you pray, and that, of course, is exactly where Daniel is. He's not just saying, well, God's promised, I want this, it's good for Israel, I'll pray it. Instead, we see Daniel not just praying for the return of Israel, but confessing Israel's sins and fasting and praying in that context. That is accords with the Lord Jesus' exhortation to be alert in prayer, not just kind of having blinders on in prayer, but being aware of the biblical situation, of how Scripture defines the situation that I find myself in, And so as Daniel does, he is defining his situation biblically, and so he's able to pray intelligently. We find the Lord Jesus' words in toto and exactly repeated by the apostles, Ephesians and Colossians and 1 Peter, watch and pray. And not exactly in those words always, but sometimes exactly in those words. Here is Peter in 1 Peter 4:7. He says, "Be serious and watchful in your prayers." Be serious and watchful in your prayers. So we have things that we are concerned about, that it seems like it would be God's will that we pray for, that we pray about. What Peter is telling us, and the entirety of this, the thrust of this, is to make sure that we are praying God's will back to him, that we are living from God's word and then able to pray that in some sense back to him. Otherwise, God becomes a sugar daddy in some sense. Well, I have this want, and God has all power, and so I will ask for these things that I have a great desire for. The watchfulness in our prayers is being aware of what God is doing, what he is saying in his word, and how does that apply to my situation, small and large. And that necessity, and that defines New Testament prayer. Watching unto prayer is New Testament prayer. It's not just pray. Certainly it is pray. But it is being aware, as we see Daniel here. It is applying God's word to my circumstances and praying that to the Lord. It's not like, as we know, but may tend to forget, it's not like God doesn't know. It's not like God doesn't have a plan. And it's not like God isn't working out his plan. It's that he calls on us. We are to be involved in the execution of that plan. So now I can pray rightly. I wanted to, and actually where I started with this today, was to note from Psalm 119, there are, I think, 11 times in that psalm in which we have prayer that says, that is asking God for things, and then it says, according to your word. Asking for things according to your word. And here is this biblical alertness. There is the knowledge, this is who God is, this is what God is doing, this is what God is doing in my context, that I can urgently bring it to him. These are mostly very, very personal things. Revive me, strengthen me, let your mercies come to me. There's praise. All of these are couched in according to your word. The believer prays rightly who prays from God's word and is able to stand on that word in prayer. We have the right soil when our prayer comes from biblical soil. And I'm not going to attempt to develop that anymore, other than to say that is our right soil. The coming to him according to his already all-encompassing plan, but he as a wise father calls us and bids us ask what we will, and he will fold our requests into his all-wise, all-powerful doings. And that is his delight, and for our good. But we come from his giving us of his telling us what he's doing, and we say, oh, this is what I have need of in that context. David doesn't just stand back and say, oh, you're going to do that. He asks for that which God has said that he's going to do. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We do pray that we might live from it, and that we may pray from it, that we may gain impetus for prayer from your word, that we may grow in faith as we read your word and pray it back to you. We do pray that we might grow up in all things and follow the Lord Jesus, who was always looking to his Father in all that he did and said in prayer and in doing. We do ask you for these things in Christ's name. Amen.